Good evening. I came here this evening to invite you to participate in a project. I think it's an incredible project, and I want to tell you more about it. But before I do, I need to tell you a little more about chiropractic. The more you know about chiropractic, the more benefit you can get from it. The more you know about anything, the more benefit you can get from it. If you got a new food processor for Christmas, and the only thing you know about it is that it can be used as a mixing machine, well, then you can use it and enjoy it and get benefit from it. But after a while, you find out it's also a blender. And you can puree, you can make soups, you can make applesauce, you can mix cookie dough, you can chop salads, you can grate cheese. You can do all kinds of things with it if you know how to use it. And the more you know, the more benefit you get. Finally, after about a year of this, you read the instruction book. And then you say, wow, there's so much this thing can do for me. And you really begin to get your money's worth as you learn more. Now, the same is true in chiropractic. Obviously, you know about chiropractic or you wouldn't be here tonight. But if you can learn more, then you can get your money's worth more. You gain more benefit from chiropractic as you know more about it. When you first heard about chiropractic, when you first became aware, you probably heard that people with bad backs and stiff necks and headaches go to chiropractors and get help. So you finally went to a chiropractor, and as you sat in the waiting room, you began to hear other people talk about chiropractic, saying things that you hadn't even heard about. For example, somebody will say, well, I came because I had high blood pressure and the chiropractor helped me. And somebody else will say, gee, that's funny. What did he do for your high blood pressure? Or what did she do for your high blood pressure? Well, the chiropractor just pushed on my back, and strangely enough, the high blood pressure has diminished. It's not as bad now. And somebody else says, gee, that's really strange, because I went to the chiropractor because I had low blood pressure. And what the chiropractor did to me was push on my back, and the blood pressure went up to where it belongs. And somebody else said, well, I came because I had menstrual cramps, and that was helped. And somebody else said, well, I had arthritis, and I'm not sure if it's any better, but at least it's not getting any worse. And somebody else said, this recovered and that recovered. And you learn that chiropractic does a whole lot more than backaches. Now, what I want to tell you tonight is that chiropractic properly used has nothing to do with backaches. And it has nothing to do with any of those disease conditions that I mentioned. Yes, it is true that if you have lots of physical health problems, going to a chiropractor might well help you to recover from those problems. But if you use chiropractic for that purpose only, you're using about 2% of chiropractic, and you're wasting all the rest. To understand the real value of chiropractic, you have to understand a little bit more about the way the body works. First of all, let me point out that chiropractic deals not with just the health potential of the body. Chiropractic deals with every physical activity. Every level of human performance is involved in chiropractic, simply because every level of human performance is controlled by body chemistry. It is your body chemistry that determines how much energy you have in the course of a day, how well you sleep at night, your moods, your attitudes, how well you get along with other people. Let's just talk a little bit about the role of chemistry in running your life. Do you know, for example, that you're sitting here right now and your heart is beating away at a certain rate for you? If you were to get up and run for the bus, you couldn't make it. There's not a person in this room athletic enough to run for a bus and catch it unless they first change their body chemistry. Little glands in the body called adrenal glands that make adrenaline. And for you to generate the speed and the energy to run, you have to have adrenaline pumped into your bloodstream by those two little glands. And if you don't get enough adrenaline, then you lack the power and the speed and the strength and the ability. Why do you think athletes change their chemistry? And very often they kill themselves by changing their chemistry in a desperate effort to get more performance out of the body, because the body performance is controlled by chemicals. Do you remember Len Byers, the basketball player? Maybe the greatest college basketball player this country has seen, certainly in a generation. And he went out, he could run faster and jump higher than any other athlete. He could sustain energy better than any other athlete. He could spend more minutes on the court without becoming exhausted. And one day he went out and played one of his greatest games ever. A magnificent performance, and then he went home and keeled over and dropped dead. And we found that this excessive performance was brought about by the ingestion of chemicals. Chemicals in the body change your performance levels, and what he did was in 1 hour burn up 30 years of his life. So changing body chemistry controls your performance, but it has many, many broad effects other than the ones some of the athletes are seeking. The Russian women athletes recently were stripped of their gold medals from the Goodwill Games because it was discovered that some of these women athletes had achieved male strength by taking male hormones. So they won the shot put and the discus and the javelin, but they paid a price. They grew mustaches, got deep voices, and their breasts shriveled up as their body became half male from taking these anabolic steroids. When you change body chemistry, you change performance. Do you know you can't even go to sleep at night without making a chemical? Some people make borderline quantities of that chemical. They say, well, I can sleep most of the time if I don't drink coffee. Coffee keeps me awake. Yes, of course it does. Coffee is a chemical. And if you're only making borderline amounts of the sleep chemical and you add the coffee, then you can't sleep. And some people, when they can't make the right chemicals to go to sleep, go to a drugstore and they buy a chemical. And that makes them sleep. Then they can't wake up in the morning. Because to get up in the morning, you have to make another chemical. Everything you do requires that you change your chemistry. You breathe in polluted air. The only way you can survive is by making the right chemicals. There are hundreds of different carcinogens, cancer-producing drugs in the food you eat, the air you breathe, the water you drink. How do you survive? You survive by making the right chemicals. And if you don't make enough of the right chemicals, now you're going to be a victim of some disease which you could have resisted if your body chemistry had been in the right balance. To extract nutrients from your food, your body has to make enzymes, which are chemicals. If you make the right enzymes, then the food you eat becomes good nutrition for the body. They say, well, you are what you eat. That's not true. You are what your body is able to extract from what you eat. And if your body chemistry is out of balance and you can't utilize the food, eating more doesn't help. I happen to believe the American people probably have more nutrients in their urine than the rest of the world has in its diet. They keep popping more nutrients into their system, more vitamins, more minerals, and that's okay if your body can use them. But if your body chemistry is such that you can't use them, they're just going to waste. Do you know you can't even laugh without making a chemical? Your sense of humor is controlled by chemistry. Years ago, there was a dentist by the name of Morton who tried to make dentistry painless. And he made it painless by having people breathe in a chemical called nitrous oxide. That's laughing gas. And people would breathe in this chemical and their whole sense of humor would change and they'd relax. So here comes the dentist with a bloody great drill in one hand and a pair of pliers in the other. And the patient would think, oh, that's funny. Huh? And they breathe in a little more of this chemical and they became unconscious. And if they breathe in a lot more, they become dead. See, changing your body chemistry changes your sense of humor, your degree of relaxation, your energy, changes everything, your moods. Why do you think the police won't let you drive a car when you've been drinking alcohol? Because alcohol, as a chemical, in your bloodstream, alters your physical coordination. You can't walk a straight line, you can't talk straight, you can't think straight. But it also affects your reaction time, your judgment is impaired. You can't see straight, you can't think straight. You're a menace to yourself and everybody else. And look what happens to people's moods and personalities with alcohol. And I'm not picking on alcohol because there's lots of other chemicals. There's some people who just can't face a social life. They're little wallflowers till they get a couple of belts inside them and then yaha, life of the party. Hey, walk into a bar sometime. Here's somebody, has a few drinks, he wants to beat up the whole bar, beat up everybody in sight. And then somebody else has a few drinks and it becomes all gabby. And somebody else has a few drinks and it becomes all lovey-dovey. Huh? Can't do anything about it, but he's all lovey-dovey. So, changing your body chemistry really changes who you are. It changes your ability to resist disease. If you breathe in ragweed pollen in the summertime, your body responds by making a chemical called histamine. Now, if you make the right amount of histamine, then you don't even know there's pollen in the air and doesn't bother you. The person next to you making too much histamine, not able to control the production, the histamine causes a runny nose and watery eyes and coughing and spluttering and sneezing. And they say, boy, the ragweed pollen is making me sick. No, it isn't. If ragweed pollen could make you sick, we'd all be sick. We all breathe in the same pollen. What makes you sick is the fact that your body is not responding properly chemically. You produce too much of this histamine, and it's the histamine that makes you sneeze and splutter and cough. And lots of people then go to a drugstore and they buy antihistamine. And it works. It dries up the membranes, dries up some of the symptoms, because it causes other problems and other symptoms. Drowsiness, can't do a decent day's work, can't maintain energy. And then there are things like constipation or diarrhea, intestinal hemorrhage, intestinal bleeding, prostatic cancer in men. And interestingly enough, when you take antihistamine, guess what your body does? Makes more histamine. So the problem goes on and on. Changing your body chemistry is necessary to life, but when you change it artificially, it creates all kinds of problems. In order for you to do anything, you need to change your chemistry. To think clearly. Just imagine your kids. You send your kids to school and they're supposed to get an education. How much do you think they learn if they sit in class until break time, then they go out on break and smoke pot and go back in class? You think that would affect their learning ability? Would affect their IQ, their memory, their concentration? When body chemistry is out of balance, nothing works right. Hey, let's talk for a minute about the menstrual cycle. Now, we know there are physiological changes, there are physical changes. There's water retention and weight gain, sometimes complexion problems, straggly hair, lackluster eyes, don't feel like working. These are just the physical things. Are there emotional changes at premenstrual time? Huh? Does PMS sometimes be so severe that it leads people to suicide? What is it turns a perfectly rational human being into this once-a-month witch syndrome? Huh? What is it? It's a change in body chemistry. A tiny, tiny change. And boy, when body chemistry changes, it affects moods, attitudes, capability. Have you seen Howard Cosell recently? Howard Cosell can't hold a microphone. He shakes so badly. He can't thread a needle. Because his brain is lacking a little chemical called dopamine. And boy, if you don't have dopamine in your brain, then you can't coordinate. You can't do any fine coordination. And they stick a label on you. They say, you have Parkinson's disease. Well, it is a disease, but it really is a chemical imbalance in the body. The lack of a little chemical. Alzheimer's disease is another one. Loss of memory because your brain is denied a certain chemical. For you to perform properly every day, your chemistry has to be in balance. And when chemistry is out of balance, you'll never again be all that you could be. Now, what has all of that to do with chiropractic? Just this. I've talked a lot about chemicals from the outside of the body changing performance. Let's talk a little more about chemistry within the body changing performance. You have a little gland up in the throat called the thyroid gland. That makes a chemical called thyroxin. If you make the right amount of thyroxin, your life is good. If you make too much thyroxin, they say you're hyperthyroid and you're nervous and jittery and you can't sleep and you can't maintain your weight. And then somebody else is labeled hypothyroid. That means they're not making enough thyroxin. And too little means they just look at food and they put on weight and they get tired very easily and they sleep too much. They can't produce a decent day's work. Imagine what that does to their income earning capacity. Some of you out there make a living by the use of your energy. Maybe you sell cars, maybe you sell real estate, maybe you work at some other kind of job. If by 3 o'clock in the afternoon you're so pooped out that you can't continue working and you lose a sale here and a sale there, what does that do to your life? What happens when your concentration begins to go because there's a tiny little chemical imbalance? Is there anybody here who would like to go to a dentist at the time that the dentist has a hangover? Why not? Zip, sorry. Zip, sorry. That's why not. See, when your body chemistry is out of balance, when you're being poisoned, and that's what a chemical imbalance does, it poisons you, and it stops you from performing properly. Now, there are some 70,000 billion cells in your body, and every one of them is a little chemical factory. You make chemicals, not just in the thyroid gland and the adrenal gland. You make all the chemicals necessary to adapt to a change in the environment. You make all the chemicals necessary to adapt to a virus or a bacterium in your environment. Boy, if your chemistry is in balance, you're strong as a horse. You know people like this. There are times in your life when you can get soaking wet, get on an air-conditioned bus for 3 hours, have people sneezing in your face all the time, and you couldn't get a cold if you tried. With all the virus around you, your chemical balance is so good that your resistance is high. Then there are other times when somebody will sneeze in Boston and you got the flu in Stroudsburg. And why are you so susceptible? Because sometimes your chemistry is a little out of balance. You're a little run down, you say. Run down means chemical imbalance. You have 70,000 billion cells that make chemicals. Boy, if they're all making the right chemicals in harmony, you're in perfect chemical balance and you're all the you that you're going to be. You're the best that you can be when your body chemistry is in perfect harmony. Not only is it not messed up from the outside, but the body itself is making thousands, tens of thousands of different chemicals in the right performance levels all of the time. You make the right quantity, the right quality, right place, right time. You eat meat and your body has to make an enzyme to digest meat. Now, if that enzyme is not there, you have indigestion. And then when the meat is gone from your stomach, then you're going to make the enzyme. Then it does you more harm than good and you have indigestion again. You have a different problem. If your chemistry is not in balance, you're eating yourself up. It is the job of your glands and organs to make the chemicals. Again, what does that have to do with chiropractic? Just this. For you to make the right chemicals, they have to be controlled by a master control system. How do the chemical-producing glands know what other parts of the body need? How does your heart know at this second how much activity the legs are doing? Are you sitting down? Are you running for a bus? How does the heart know that? Simply because all parts of the body are constantly feeding a stream of information to the brain. The brain is the central computer. This is why chiropractic is so involved. This brain is a fascinating organ. A lot of people think the brain is just like a blob sitting up in the head, but it isn't. It's a blob on a stick. See, that's what the brain looks like. I'm fascinated by this organ. Not only does it run everything in the body, it runs the production of every single chemical. It controls all function in the body, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep. This brain and spinal cord start out in an amazing way. Let's talk about the creation of a new human being. A new human being is formed by the union of a tiny little female egg cell. This thing is about the size of a dot made by a fine pointed pencil. So small you can barely see it with the naked eye, and it's not even a complete cell, it's missing half its chromosomes. It meets up with a male sperm cell that's even tinier. Maybe a little smarter. Okay. So it's smaller. It too is missing half its chromosomes. So we have two half cells that unite and form one perfect cell. Now this one cell gets a little bigger and it divides into two. And then it divides again and becomes 4, 8, 16, 30, just keeps multiplying. After about 8 weeks, when this blob of cells looks something like a little mulberry, an amazing thing happens. See, they all started out as one single cell. They should all be the same. After about 8 weeks, some of the cells begin to change and form an organ. Guess what the first organ is? It's not the heart, it's not the skeleton. See, if I were drawing a human body, I'd probably start with the skeleton. You can see what kind of an artist I am. I'd start with the skeleton and fit in the bits and pieces wherever there's room. Nature doesn't do that. Nature says the first thing we'll set up is a control system. The first organ to form is the brain and spinal cord. Then after it has formed, before any organs show up, branches develop. Major nerve trunks from the brain and spinal cord. Those divide and redivide and subdivide and spread out in a network all over the body. After there are nerves, then organs can develop. So you get up in the throat, the thyroid gland, and over the kidney, the adrenal gland that makes adrenaline and makes cortisone. I'm fascinated by this thought. Our medical friends seem to believe that cortisone is an effective treatment for all forms of arthritis and joint inflammation. If arthritis can be successfully treated with cortisone, you think it may be possible that at least some cases of arthritis are caused by a lack of cortisone? Maybe if you were making the right amount of cortisone, you wouldn't have the arthritis in the first place. I mean, don't go to a chiropractor after 40 years of arthritis and expect to get adjusted twice and the arthritis will go away. But it's just possible there's a relationship between the function of that gland and whether you will get arthritis or not in later life. The thyroid gland, as we said, controls all of your metabolism. The ovaries make female hormone. Boy, too much of that stuff is a known cause of breast cancer. You better have just the right amount. You better have just the right amount of every chemical produced by every gland in the body. But before the glands can even exist, they have to have a nerve supply. The thing to remember is, that's how everything works. You don't first get glands and then a nerve supply to make them work. If you wanted to grow apples, what are you going to do? Get a bunch of apples and throw them up in the air and plant a tree that'll catch the apples when they come down? No. First you plant the tree. It grows a trunk. The trunk gets branches and smaller branches, and the fruit grows at the ends of the branches. That's how the body works. The glands don't exist until first they have a master control system. This brain and spinal cord are the most important organ in the entire body. You might as well know, one, they are the first organ ever to develop. Two, it's an organ which seems to have to last you the rest of your life. See, an organ like the liver is very important, but you could destroy two-thirds of the liver and the body will grow it back. You can't do that with the brain and spinal cord. So chiropractors say, you know, it may be a good idea to take care of the brain and spinal cord. They seem to be rather important. Not only do they control everything and regulate your body chemistry, did you ever wonder what is the difference between a living, breathing, walking, talking human being and a corpse? See, physically they're the same. The difference between a living person is electrical energy. In fact, you are now legally pronounced dead when all electrical activity in the brain has ceased. As long as your brain is producing electricity, you're alive. That's the difference between life and death. This electrical energy travels through all parts of the body over nerves. In the University of Pennsylvania, many years ago, an experiment was done in which they hooked up an electroencephalogram, a thing that measures brain energy. They hooked it up to a living rabbit, and they measured the electricity in the rabbit's brain. Then they went a step further. They harnessed that electricity and used it to run a radio. The radio had no batteries. It wasn't plugged in anywhere. Its only power source was the electrical energy from the rabbit's brain. And the radio worked. But because it was drawing the life energy from the rabbit died. And then the radio stopped. So they plugged in another volunteer rabbit, and the radio worked again. Your body is like that radio. All of the parts of your body need electrical energy to function. They only get it from one place, and that is the brain. Not only do chiropractors believe that the brain and spinal cord are the most important organ of the body, apparently nature believes the same thing too. Nature has surrounded the brain and spinal cord with solid bone. Now up in the head, you've got the skull, or rather surrounding the brain, you've got the skull, the cranial vault, and that protects the brain. What about down here? Well, nature says this spinal cord is just as important as the rest of the central nerve system. It too is surrounded by solid bone. See, you have a hole in your head. Did you know that? I know it's not very scientific to say you have a hole in your head, but it's true. The brain extends through the bottom of the skull and is protected now inside the bones of the spine by passing through this hole in your head. Now, because it's not very scientific to say you have a hole in your head, science stepped in and gave this a name in Latin to make it scientific. The Latin name is foramen magnum, and that's Latin for large hole. All right? Now, the brain extends through that hole and goes down the full length of the body, and at intervals down, branches pass out. See, if this were a tube of bone the way I've shown it, you'd be protected, but you wouldn't be able to bend or twist or turn. So old Mother Nature said, these people need to bend and twist and turn. Let's cut this tube of bone up into 24 movable segments called vertebrae, the bones of the spine. Now you're flexible. Let me show you a model here. Here's a fiberglass model of a human spine. This sitting on top, and I hope you can see it from where you are, this is the base of the skull. The brain sits in here. If I tilt this forward, can you see there's a large hole in the bottom? And this yellow thing represents the bottom of the brain and the start of your spinal cord. And it runs down inside all of these bones of the spine. And in between each pair of bones, there's an opening through which nerve trunks pass. Now, if all of these bones are where they belong, your nerve system is protected, your brain regulates and controls your body chemistry, and you can adapt to every change in your environment up to your peak capacity. Now, that still doesn't mean you're going to be as good as the next guy, but it does mean you're going to be as good as you can be. Our problem is, we take too much for granted. Did you ever stop and think how your fingers just happen to fit your hand? They wouldn't fit the person next to you. They're custom made for you. They fit perfectly. Your eyeballs are exactly the right shape and size for your eye socket, which is just as well. Otherwise, every time you bent down, you'd lose something. See? Everything fits. The bones of the spine fit together so perfectly that the openings totally protect the nerve trunks. Unless something happens, something that chiropractors are concerned with, something called vertebral subluxation. I'm not going to bother you with a lot of technical terms, but this is one you really need to know. Vertebral subluxation is what it's called when one of these bones of the spine, instead of being in its proper position protecting the nerves, slips out of place. Just the tiniest bit. Just enough to cause a breakdown in the communications between the central nerve system and the glands that are supposed to be controlled by that central nerve system. Now, what happens? When you have a vertebral subluxation, all the parts still work, but they don't coordinate quite as harmoniously. So your body's a little slow to change its chemistry, or maybe a little too fast to change its chemistry. If those nerves are irritated, you could get too much of a chemical just as well as you could get too little. It means the control mechanism is lost. It's like the control mechanism of your thermostat in the house going wrong. And you can't control the heat. Oh, I get plenty of heat. You better get too damn much some of the time and not enough the rest of the time. That's what happens to the control of these organs when you have a vertebral subluxation. Now, when you have a vertebral subluxation, your body begins to undergo subtle, abnormal chemistry. The thyroid gland here makes a little too much thyroxine. The adrenal gland makes a little too much or a little too little adrenaline. A little too much, a little too little cortisone. Too much, too little of this hormone, this enzyme, that enzyme. As a result, the balance of your body chemistry is a little bit off, a little bit slow. You need to change to adapt to environmental changes. You don't change quite fast enough. You eat foods and you don't get the best nutrition out of them. You can't think as clearly. We talked about the mood changes of the menstrual cycle. See, this menstrual cycle is just a tiny little hormone change. And if it changes inappropriately because control is lost, then we get all of the problems associated with this, including the suicidal tendencies and the bad tempers. And guys, don't think you're off the hook because you don't have a menstrual cycle. You do have chemical cycles that are all controlled by the brain and the nerve system. And don't think your kids don't know when to talk to the old man and when to stay the hell out of his way. For God's sake, don't talk to him before he had his dinner, because if his blood sugar is low, that's a chemical, he's going to snap your head off. When you have a subluxation, yes, you can get sick. It is so stupid to go to a chiropractor when you have a backache and ignore your lifeline the rest of the time. I even know people, maybe there's some in this room, who go to a chiropractor to get well and leave their own children home to get sick. Saying, well, the kids don't have a backache. Chiropractic is not for backaches. The only purpose of chiropractic is to find these vertebral subluxations whenever and wherever they exist in anybody, and to help the body to restore these channels to normal, to regain control over your chemistry. Because when your chemistry is back in control, you're better off than when the chemistry is not under control. That's the message of chiropractic. Chiropractic is not for sick people or people with backaches. Chiropractic's for everybody. And it's funny, I talk about this, and you're watching this, and you're saying, boy, I'm glad I don't have one of those subluxations. Yes, you do. And I'll prove it to you right now. If you haven't been going to the chiropractor regularly. Do you ever watch a one-year-old learning to walk? Learning to stand, to walk, to run? Does the kid ever fall down? Like 30 times a day? Or 300 times a day? Forget the one-year-old. Let's move up to a two-year-old. Were you ever two? Let's watch a day in the life of a two-year-old. The two-year-old gets up in the morning. First thing he does is fall out of bed. Whack. Subluxation. Now he gets back in and kicks his brother out. You got two of them subluxated. They come down to breakfast one step at a time on their rear end. Bump, bump, bump. You think that's good for the spine? Okay, the kid's not subluxated yet. Now let him go out and play. He rolls down the hill. He fights, he wrestles. He falls off his scooter, falls off his skates, falls off his skateboard, falls off his bicycle, falls off his tricycle, falls out of a tree. Just in case he's not subluxated, before he sits down to lunch, he dives into the sofa head first a half a dozen times. See? This was you growing up. You grew up subluxated all of your life. But you didn't have a backache all of your life. You didn't have headaches. If a little girl aged 3 falls off her tricycle and gets a subluxation that damages the nerve supply to the ovaries, she's not going to get menstrual cramps at age 3. Or at 13, maybe not at 23 or 33. But at a certain age, maybe she now comes down with breast cancer. Because a known cause of breast cancer is an excess of that female hormone that's made in the ovaries. And it could have come from that fall. The fact is, anything you do to cause a subluxation sets your body chemistry out of balance and it messes up your entire life. When you have a subluxation, yes, it will interfere with your health capacity, but it will also interfere with your work capacity, your concentration, your memory, your sense of humor, your digestion, your ability to earn a living, your sex life, your relationships with your kids, your friendships with other people. I had a person tell me the other day, she wasn't sure. She said, we've been under chiropractic care for a few months now, and I think something strange is happening. Is it possible that when you get adjusted, food tastes better? Of course, because the taste buds are controlled chemically. I was talking with a dentist who tells me that the chemical content of the saliva is what determines the rate of cavities. That's why they don't want you to eat sweets, because it makes the saliva acid. Well, supposing you have a subluxation that alters your chemistry and makes your saliva more acid, couldn't that give you more dental caries? Well, can you prove that? I don't need to prove it. You have to understand that there's nowhere on God's earth you can have a subluxation that doesn't mess up your life somehow. I don't have to know how. And if you come to me or any other chiropractor with a certain ache or a pain or a disease and say, was it caused by subluxation? The only honest answer is, I have no idea. But whether that condition is caused by subluxation or not, you don't want to go through life with subluxation. And the point is, every child grows up with subluxations. It really bothers me to see people go to a chiropractor to get well and leave their kids home to get sick. You have to understand one major thing. Vertebral subluxation, this deadly killer, this destroyer of happiness, does not have symptoms. Sitting here right now, you don't know if you have a subluxation. I'm a chiropractor and I've been one for a long time. I don't know if I have a subluxation. It doesn't hurt. So what I do is regularly, at least once a week, I go to my chiropractor and get my spine checked. See, the chiropractor is a trained expert in finding subluxation. I really get frustrated by patients who come in and they say, boy, I really need it today. What they're saying is, I hurt today. Therefore, I think I must need it. The other side of that is, if you don't hurt, maybe you don't need it. Hey, maybe you don't. But the only way to find out is to see an expert who will check your spine. I wish you had a big red light in the middle of your forehead, and every time you got a subluxation, it would flash. Tilt. Huh? And you look in the mirror, and you know you need a chiropractor. But you don't have a red light. How do you know if you need a chiropractor? Answer, you don't. The only way to find out is to go to a chiropractor who's trained in it, who will check your spine, find subluxations, and correct them. Please don't wait until symptoms show up. You understand, of course, that symptoms are the last stage of disease, not the first stage. hey, pick up today's newspaper. Wherever you live, and you've come from far and wide, wherever you live, pick up today's newspaper and read about the person who never had a sick day in his life and then keeled over and dropped out of a heart attack. He didn't go from perfect health to perfect death. Somewhere in between, there was a cause that was ignored month after month and year after year. You don't go to a chiropractor when you're sick, when you're sick only, waiting for symptoms to show up. Intelligent people go regularly throughout their life, and I would love to see you get your focus away from the sickness and disease that's caused by subluxation and focus instead on all the other lessening of human potential, the loss of energy, the loss of coordination, the loss of stamina, the loss of everything. When you have vertebral subluxation, it affects your entire life by the slow process of poisoning of the body by improper chemical balance. So let's understand, chiropractic is not just for sick people. Virtually everybody got subluxated in childbirth and has been subluxated all of their life. And when you have a subluxation, you have no way of knowing it without having your spine checked by an expert. That's what chiropractic family lifetime maintenance care is all about. If you have a halfway decent car, you don't drive it until the engine seizes up. You have a brain in your head, you get the car serviced regularly. Do the same with your body. If your car engine seizes up, you can throw the damn thing away and buy a new one for money. When your body seizes up because of neglect, it's too late. Don't use chiropractic care as a patch-up. Use it intelligently. The way you get your car serviced, get your body serviced. Now, I want to get down to my project that I want to invite you to join. Most of you here, I think, are chiropractic patients. And I know a great number of you have your families coming in regularly. But do you realize how many people there are in your community that don't know about chiropractic? There are kids growing up with subluxations, your friends. With knowledge comes responsibility. I want you to tell people about chiropractic. Voltaire said the hottest place in hell is reserved for all the good people who see evil being done and stand idly by. Is that us? Do we see kids growing up unnecessarily limited because of subluxations? Never doing as well as they could? Your kids may be sitting in school and they're coming home with B's and A minus. Hey, they could be getting straight A's if their chemistry wasn't messed up. You can't get decent grades when you're sitting in school smoking pot. And you can't get decent grades when your chemistry is out of balance from subluxation. And you can't do a decent day's work. Some of you are employers. Let's say you're an employer, you're a construction contractor. You build houses. How would you like to hire somebody who's so incompetent from subluxation, a carpenter who's pounding nails and bending them? Because he's not accurate. His coordination is a little off. His subluxations are costing you a lot of money. You're paying a full day's pay for a half a day's work. And then somebody else has got to clean up after him. You must realize, please, the damage that's done by subluxations, not only aches and pains and days off from work for sickness. I'm talking about incompetence on the job. People arguing on the job because they're out of balance. When somebody has an emotional disturbance or they're depressed, how do they treat it? They go to a doctor who gives them chemicals. The cause of the problem is usually chemical. And very often it's a chemical imbalance caused by subluxation. Give yourself, give your family, give your neighbors a decent chance at a balancing body chemistry so you can be physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually in good shape. Everything is controlled by body chemistry. And if you let that chemistry get out of balance, or you let other people's chemistry get out of balance, what a mess it's making of the world. I live just the other side of Philadelphia, just off the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Two summers ago, there was a story in the newspaper about a drunk driver who ran a police car off the road. Of all the people that run off the road, don't pick on a cop. He runs a cop off the road, the policeman pulls over, swings around, pulls the car over, and walks over. He doesn't take out his book and start writing a ticket. He takes out his .38, blows the guy's brains out. Now the driver was drunk, but what about the cop? He wasn't under the influence of anything except his own body chemistry. Did you ever have rotten moods like that where you can snap somebody's head off? It's caused by an imbalance in body chemistry. You're living in a world in which everybody's subluxated. I flew in the other day from Toronto, and there were 200 other passengers on the plane. The damn pilot was subluxated. That affects his judgment. 2 weeks before that, I was on a plane just out of Los Angeles, and an air traffic controller brought in a USAS 727 on top of another small plane that was on the same runway. And he said, well, I wasn't feeling too good. Yeah, I'll bet he wasn't. See, subluxations cause all kinds of massive problems. When you leave here tonight, you're going to get in your car and drive home. You might as well know that because this is a Thursday, the alcohol level in the people on the road is not that high. Nevertheless, 1 out of 10 on a Thursday is under the influence of alcohol. Another 1 or 2 out of 10 are under the influence of some other chemical. And all the damn rest are subluxated. It's not safe out there. What I'm thinking of is making this a safer community. Wouldn't you like to be able to call somebody to fix your roof and know that he's going to give you a decent day's work for a decent day's pay because he's not subluxated? Have you ever felt so irritated, either chemically or for any other reason, that you're going to snap somebody's head off? Hey, down in Washington, D.C., you got people making judgments for the whole world, and they're subluxated. That's scary. You think the Ayatollah Khamenei wasn't subluxated? Or Saddam Hussein? I'd love to check his body chemistry. Huh? Why do you want to go through life with your body chemistry out of balance, getting by? Please talk to your chiropractor about a lifetime family maintenance fee system. Let's set up a fee so you and your spouse and all the kids can get the chiropractic care you need, not just go when your back hurts or your head aches. In addition to that, won't you join me in a campaign to make this a better neighborhood, a better community, a better country, maybe a better world? This is what I'm talking about. There are kids out there just growing up subluxated because their parents don't know. With knowledge comes responsibility. Don't you care about these kids? Have you seen the ads on television that friends don't let friends drive drunk? Hey, well, friends don't let friends walk around subluxated either. I had an experience in my office, and I was talking about this today to a group of people. A new patient walks into the office accompanied by his 12-year-old son, who was an asthmatic. And like so many asthmatics, when he started to get adjusted, the asthma cleared up. And as he walked in, he saw an old friend sitting in the corner. And he said to the friend, oh, how long have you been coming here? And the friend said, oh, I've been coming for about 9 years. How about you? He said, I've just been coming for a couple of weeks. No thanks to you. What did I do? What do you mean, no thanks to me? He said, what did you do? Every Tuesday night, you come over to my house to play poker. You call yourself my friend. You eat my food. You drink my booze. You heard my kid gasping for air in the next room, and you never said a word about chiropractic. You knew about chiropractic for 9 years, and you let that kid suffer? He came in here for a couple of visits, and he's better already. I know twice you were sitting in my house when the ambulance came and dragged this kid off to the hospital because he needed emergency treatment for the asthma. If he had only said one word, this kid could have been better that long ago. Now, I'm asking you to think of your friends and your neighbors who need to know what you know. Come to think of it, the only way you found out about chiropractic in the first place is somebody cared enough for you to tell you about it. Won't you join this crusade and tell somebody else? Do you realize that if everybody in this room were to tell other people your personal experiences with chiropractic and tell them what you know, you could make an incredible difference in the future. Kids who are growing up getting nothing out of their schooling could start to get better grades, better livelihoods. Maybe they won't have to take to the streets and crime and peddle drugs if they can make a decent living. You have no concept of the damage that's being done to humanity by these subluxations. I invite you to join me in a crusade to share what you know. I'm really embarrassed to come all this way to talk with you and find we could have seating for another 200 or 300 people if you'd only brought in more friends. Let me teach you how to share chiropractic with other people. It's very easy. You don't have to get up and give an hour's lecture. Remember the letter N. This is how we're going to explain chiropractic. 5 simple steps. Number one, chiropractic deals with every level of human performance. There's not a thing a human being does that is not in the realm of chiropractic, because all of human performance is controlled by body chemistry. When people ask you about chiropractic, you don't start talking about the spine and the nerves. That's too technical, and it's not really what chiropractic is all about. What chiropractic is about is raising the level of human performance. And all performance is controlled by chemistry. And the chemistry is controlled by glands that make chemicals. Tens of thousands of glands, 70,000 billion cells in the body, all making chemicals. For them to make the right chemicals for chemical balance and maximum performance, those glands have to be under the control of the central nerve system. That's the system that maintains control, the brain and the spinal cord. When they're in control and all the glands are harmonized, doesn't matter what age you are, your body will do the best that it can because the master control mechanism, the brain, is in charge. That system is controlled and protected, of course, by bone. Now we have the perfect five principles. Every level of human performance is controlled by chemistry. The chemistry imbalance is the result of glands producing the right chemicals because they're harmonized by the nerve system. The nerves, in turn, are protected by bone. Until vertebral subluxation. What's that? Vertebral subluxation means the bone has slipped from its proper positioning. Now, instead of protecting the nerves, it's actually irritating the nerves. When the nerves are not coordinated properly, the glands lose their control mechanism. The glands still make chemicals, but not in perfect harmony. The result is an imbalance in body chemistry and lowered performance. And when that performance is down, it affects every aspect of life. Everything. And it'll stay down there. You will never again be all that you could be if your body chemistry is out of balance because of a subluxation. This is why we have chiropractic, not to treat your stupid backaches and headaches and arthritis. And when you go to a chiropractor, don't be upset if your arthritis or your backache doesn't go away the way you want it to. I'll tell you a little secret. Chiropractic always works 100% of the time. You can't get rid of a subluxation without your life potential improving. It always works. But it's absolutely impossible to predict in advance what changes you will see. And some of you want to know, don't you? You ask the chiropractor, you think my sciatica will go away? The honest answer is, how the hell do I know? You know, you're not a walking backache. My job as a chiropractor is to keep all your life channels open. God bless you, I hope your sciatica goes away. But if it doesn't, what are you going to do, close up the life channels again? Keep the channels open all of your life for yourself and the whole family. That's the message. So chiropractic exists not to treat conditions, but to give an adjustment. What is an adjustment? It's that little shove that allows the bone to go back into place, to free up the nerve system so once again it can control the glands. When the glands are controlled and interact in harmony, now body chemistry gets back into balance and your body again performs at its best level for what it has left. The longer you leave the subluxation there, the more permanent damage will accrue. Don't believe that if you get adjusted, you'll never have a problem again or your current disease will go away. I can promise you one thing. When subluxations, I'll promise you two things. I won't promise you you'll get well, but I will promise you if you keep your subluxations, you'll get worse. That's an absolute promise. There's no way you can keep those subluxations there without getting worse year by year by year. The damage from vertebral subluxation is cumulative. If you had the subluxation since you were one and you got adjusted a day later, well, that's not so terrible. You get adjusted a month later, that's not so great. You get adjusted 30 years later, don't be surprised if some of the damage is permanent. Don't let your kids and your grandchildren start chiropractic as late as you did. You know, sometimes people come in to me or any other chiropractor and somebody's had arthritis for 40 years and they get four or five adjustments and they say, you know, it doesn't feel any better yet. What the hell do you expect? The only thing we have to work with is this rotten mess that you bring in with you that you call your body. See? What I said is, why don't you get in the car and go home and bring in your grandchildren? So 40 years later, they're not in the same rotten mess looking for a miracle. The job of chiropractic is to correct the subluxation and free up the nerve system so it can once again take control of the glands, bring your chemistry into as much balance as it can so that your performance levels will go back to as high as they can go. If you want to get more results, start your chiropractic care earlier. Now, I want to ask you one more time this final thing. Won't you please help somebody else as you were helped? I'd like you to do two things now. When you go home, the first thing I would like you to do is call up the person who first told you about chiropractic and say thanks. Tell them how you feel. They send so many people to a chiropractor and nobody ever bothers to say thank you. And then the next thing is to sit down and make a little list of some of the people that you're going to tell about chiropractic. If you get home early enough, maybe you can tell them tonight. Let's start the phone calls tonight. Boy, I would love to come back here 6 months from now and talk to all of your friends and all of your neighbors that got into chiropractic care because of you. And you can sit back and know when that kid does well and gets into a good college, the only reason he got into that college is because I told his parents about chiropractic. Hey, not too shabby. It's one thing you can do for humanity that doesn't cost you anything. And then you can do what I do. Go home at night to sleep, put your head on the pillow, and fall asleep with a big old grin on your face because you know you did good stuff that day, and the world's a better place because you took the time and the trouble to care about somebody else. Thank you, and good night.